How are you?
Fine, Chairperson.
Comrade Mata, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm fine, but tired.
I'm wearing a tracksuit.
I'm wearing a suit.
Yeah, in a meeting of parliament.
Chair.
Hey.
I'm wearing three-piece.
What?
Three-piece.
How? No. Can I see all of you?
I don't want to be in trouble with the chair. I want to be dressed properly. Jacket.
Mam Kize. Ufakang night dress ngaphansi mngani wami. Okay, mngani wami. Okay.
I want to see everybody. Whoever is wearing a light dress, I'm saving away.
Chairperson, I'm not feeling well today. Let me see you, Reverend. How are you dressed? Reverend Mama, how are you dressed? Let me see. Mom, kids, but you are dressed.
I'm not feeling well today, Chair.
Hey.
Yeah.
We are on.
So you want to do it?
Chair.
How are you?
I'm dressed well.
Great. I'm not okay.
You're not okay.
I've got a runny nose. I've got a flu.
You got a runny nose?
Yes. Even myself, I've got a chest. My chest is paining, chair.
I'm sorry, Mganwam. Drink water. Drink no water, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah, no water.
Listen, I will just say hi to the people and then you take over the meeting, all of you. Is that okay?
I can feel you're not well.
No, I'm not okay at all. I'm not okay.
But Chairperson, I told you, you are not saying to me I'm not well.
I know you are a soldier. Okay, that's fine. I can see myself now.
Thanks. Okay. No, thank you so much. Thanks. Okay.
Mam Kize.
Hello, Chair. You must decide while your mic is on mute, Prof, because we're gonna hear everything.
I'll mute myself, Chair.
But you seem to be having him. We can't see your picture properly. Are you like your chair? I want to see how are you dressed. Your deputy chair has sent a peking. She has to go and dress properly. Let me see you, Professor. How are you dressed? I just want to see people's dress code today. Making somebody's day. That one was laughing.
Not tracksuit, Chairperson.
Oh, the deputy chair is here. Can we see you now? Deputy chair,
yes.
How are you dressed now?
Yeah, she's Yeah, she's nice now.
You are in a meeting now.
Yeah,
Hey, look at our deputy.
Yeah. She's beautiful now.
You have learned the hard way, no?
Yeah, I did.
You think with your lockdown, you are enjoying your dress, so we are in a meeting here. Must be properly dressed, deputy chairperson. Okay. Tanya?
How are you, Chair?
How are you doing?
I'm very well.
I'm very well. Thanks, Chair. How are you?
You're good.
Thank you, Chair.
It's a minute two.
Yes.
DM Bapela, welcome. DM Bapela.
Sawubona sir.
Okay.
Dumela modula stulo.
Oh, ukai modula stulo. Modula stulo alright.
Alright modula.
Wena ukai di.
Ari saphit.
Ukai wena di.
Ari saphit.
DM when DM when the chair is asking ukai, he means where are you?
No, it means how are you, not where I am. No, how I am, not where I am.
How are you? You see, you
are
being deliberately misled, DM.
Deliberately misled, DM.
Yes,
I'm not.
ATM.
Ay, how are you saying you?
Kokai.
Resuile rekluwa na likai.
Okay, so lead. Kalipi, we need to start our meeting now, colleagues. It's all on the door that will be to my watch.
Chairperson, you didn't speak to me.
I want to welcome you, Mkalipi. Welcome. There's somebody's mic that is on. Inkosi Lutuli, can you switch off your mic? Yeah. Then we are fine. Good evening, colleagues. And welcome to the meeting. I want to first deal with the quorum issue. I will call your names and then you'll confirm your presence. Honorable Kurnevai?
I'm present. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Honorable Brink?
Good evening. I'm present.
Honorable D.N. Lutuli.
Present. Thank you.
Honorable Hussein.
I'm here. Thank you very much. Good evening, Chairperson.
Honorable Isaac Leku.
I am here.
You must seek that network of yours, Isaac. Honorable Seleku. Honorable Matamola.
I'm present, Chairperson.
Yes. Honorable Pretty Kava.
Present, sir.
There's a person who's written DC guest. If you are an honorable member, can you change that code? Even if you are not an honorable member, can you remove that DC code and put your name so that we can be able to see who's attending this meeting, please? Honorable Saida Sheikh?
Present, Chair.
Honorable.
Present.
Honorable Mfayela. Honorable Mfayela.
Present, ma'am. Present.
Mm, I'm trying to check. Whom did I miss? Honorable Sam Zandamela?
I'm present, Chair.
Honorable Sleza? I'm repeating you.
Yes, present. Present, Chair. Thank you.
That's it. Those are. This is the list of the members that I'm using.
I'm yes. Present.
And Honorable Mkalip. Yes. Yes. I think I have mentioned all of you. So we do form a quorum. And then the chairperson, Honorable China Doduvu, is also present.
Yes, I'm here, Chair.
Can I hand over to you, chairperson?
Yeah, Chair, as I requested. Let me firstly greet all honorable members present to the meeting. All members are aware that this is the follow-up of the meeting that we had on Monday. We decided that we are going to have more time for ourselves to engage with the commission. And we are quite happy that members are present in the meeting. As I indicated to you, Chair, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to request you to go ahead chairing the entirety of the meeting. But I'm okay. I will participate like all other members who are participating. I give over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me acknowledge the presence of the DMM Wapela. Acknowledge the presence of the chairperson of the commission and the deputy chairperson, including the CEO. These are the people I can recognize in terms of the guest list here. DM Papella, is there anything you want to say prior to the presentation? I must say up front, I've got the apology of the minister. I've noted that apology, as we all know, is the busiest cabinet minister who's dealing, there's a court case that they are dealing with, so she's consulting with the lawyers. She said she won't make it for today. Then, yeah, the other apology that I have seen, I think there is an apology of a... Tell you quickly now, Honorable Goiya, who's going to join us a bit late. That's the only apology that I'm having. I will have still to look for the other members to tell, to see maybe they're still joining the likes of Honorable Tou and Honorable Mpumza, but you are all aware the challenges that Honorable Mpumza normally has, the issue of connectivity where he is. I think what he needs to do moving forward, we just have to move to another point where he can access a internet, because otherwise he's going to be missing a lot of meetings. With the chairperson of the NCOP has already welcomed you. Like we said, this is a continuation of what we started on Monday. DM, Stella, do you have to say something before I give the professor to highlight? We have read the presentation, Prof. I think you need to just highlight the issues that you need the committee to note. And we have had ample time to read your presentation now, so that then we can afford members more time to engage with your presentation. Over to you, DM Bapela.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I'll really not say much because, as you know, that is a Chapter 10 institution, so it has a board and a CEO, and they have a transfer of the money from the Department of Traditional Affairs directly to them. And then I think they will be able then to present, as you said, the highlights, because we're able to read the report now that we had ample time with the report itself.
I'll therefore, Chair, say you can then invite them to start the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DM Papela. Over to you, Prof. Just confirm your delegation, and then I'm handing over to you, Prof.
Professor, unmute your mic.
Professor Musum.
Okay. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, including honorable members of the Protocol Committee.
The professor, see you.
Do you hear me? I've unmuted my mic.
Yes. Can
we see your picture? Can we see your picture as well? It's not about
my
hearing you.
My
can
picture is here.
Can you also see your picture?
My picture is here.
Yeah, he is on. So it is on, Chair. I can see him.
We can see him.
Okay. Oh, it's only me who can see him. It's okay. Proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Proceed, Prof.
Yeah, the honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, the Chair of the NCPO, NCOP. The Deputy Minister, all protocol observed. Chairperson, I have the following delegation with me. The Deputy Chair, Dr. Sylvia Petu, the CEO, Mr. Mafaza, the CFO, Mr. Smarts, who are accompanying us to this meeting this evening. Our presentation is in two parts. The first is for me to be able to give a summation of the issues at hand which we have identified as a new commission, and then we'll go into the report itself, and of course the members of the Portfolio Committee can raise questions. First and foremost, Chairperson, is to accept and note the fact that the new commission has taken its work with vigor and has systematically decided to work on a strategic plan, which we have presented to you. And the aim of this strategic plan is to achieve the aspiration of the Constitution, namely to build...
Sorry, can you move back to my right?
Sorry. Do you hear me? I said to achieve the aspirations of the Constitution of achieving a cohesive society bound by a common loyalty of our country and all our people, without compromising its rich tapestry of cultural, religious, and linguistic diversity. The CRL, as you know, is not only about protection and promotion, because the CRL is mindful of the fact that the vestiges of nationhood have been destroyed by the system of apartheid. The issue of citizenship, that itself was under attack. For this reason, the issue of which is our responsibility, namely promotion and protection, is also accompanied with the responsibility of reconstruction of the diminished and diminishing heritages of our people. Because this is important to empower communities to be able to develop their own heritages as well. More important, Chairperson, is the fact that to achieve the aspirations of the Constitution requires that we as CRL develop what I call stakeholder management. We have got three communities, cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. and to be able to ensure that they participate and fully develop both cultural, religious, and linguistic empowerment, we need to have what we call stakeholder management, which is important as an approach to give direction to our strategic position, as well as to ensure that our priorities are met. Secondly, we looked also in terms of the strategic outcomes, which are informed by the following factors. One, the Commission's current position, which is our situation as a new Commission. What does that entail? Second, its current organizational capabilities. Are we able as an organization in terms of capacities to be able to achieve the aspirations of the mandate given to us? Third, an assessment of our environment and influence to make sure that we don't only speak, but we have impact. We impact the communities to which we are serving. And of course, to understand the state of the communities we serve as a commission. And of course, Chairperson, the purpose of the strategic plan is to guide the commission to achieve the outcomes as set out in its strategy and to evaluate the impacts of its programs. But we felt also that there are issues that may not be in the stress plan, but which are of interest to the portfolio committee, which we call not worthy issues on which the commission has reflected. There are a number of those issues, Chairperson, which we have reflected. One among those is the role of culture, religion, and language values in shaping a democratic South Africa. I know that for the most part, when we deal with the religion, we deal with dogma, we deal with doctrines, but we rarely deal with issues of values. And we realize values are fundamental bedrock in building a democratic South Africa. The second point has to do with development of jurisprudence on community rights, because we have realized that for the most part, the emphasis is on human rights, but never on community rights. So we are working on developing a jurisprudence to understand the place of community rights in our society. Third is to ask the question, given the challenges we have in the religious sector, whether or not moral behavior should be regulated or not. Third or fourth, what laws, if any, should be developed to address spiritual, physical, psychological violations of human dignity in our country? Fifth, the need for the Commission to pursue efforts to introduce in our traditional environment, in our schools, in our universities, debates, discussions about cultural and religious issues in order to deepen consciousness among the youth of South Africa, and also to establish what we call CRL rights chapters in order to pursue the mandate of CRL. Of course, in doing so, we have decided and understand our role in terms of partnership with all other stakeholders that exist among us. So, Chairperson, we understand that in the area of initiation, the challenges are abound, especially with regard to botched circumcision, penal amputation, issues of assaults and dehydration of the initiates. And we are working hand in glove with traditional leaders as well as with the provincial offices to make sure that we deal with these issues as expeditiously as possible. The Commission, as always, will continue to investigate to investigate the religious institutions that violate the community rights of the people they are represented or the people that purport to serve, and to report these issues to the law enforcement agencies. When it comes to COVID-19, Chairperson, we are the essential service. We have released a media report to reinforce the lockdown measures and appeal to our people, the CR rights communities, to comply in order to contain the spread of virus as well as to save lives. We continue to monitor compliance and to respond to concerns which CR rights communities are raising in the media environment. And of course, we realize the challenges of religious institutions who need to go to their worship services. And we always say the issue really lies with the ability of us as South Africans to work together and to mitigate against the pandemic virus, which is actually dogging our people. So now I wish to request Chairperson to give a summation of the strategic plan and APP itself after this very input that I gave to you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. See you.
Good evening, Chair, and the honorable members of the NCOP and the Doctor Portfolio Committee. I also want to extend my greetings to the Deputy Chair, to the Deputy Minister, Honorable Mapela. I hope I did not leave other honorables in the introductions. Chairperson.
It's only me who can see you. It's only me who can see you. The others are seeing
you. Yes, I can see him, Chair.
You can see him.
Oh, now I see him, Chair. Yeah.
Oh, it's only me who can see him. No, it's okay.
He's on his way there, Chair. Don't worry. You'll see him just now.
Okay. It's on his way. Proceed to you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. taking from where...
Proceed. See you.
Yes, I am speaking. Can you hear me, Chairperson?
Yes, proceed.
Thank you so much. Taking from where Professor had actually left, I will request, I'm not sure who's projecting these slides. If it's Andy left, may I request that the slides are projected? Thank you so much. The first slide, Chairperson, is just to give a summary of the work that the Commission does. The first slide. Yes, thank you. It's give a summary of what the Commission does. At the center, we have put culture, just to say we are the Commission that deals with issues of culture, but also culture is related to issues of traditions. We do that in order to build the nation in terms of social cohesion. We also deal with issues of language. We also deal, Chairperson, with the issues of beliefs, which is actually representing religion. And then we deal with issues of community rights, the society there. And we are also very much mindful of the behavior of our society when it comes to issues of culture, religion, and language. So society and values and behavior there. And of course, the issues of history, the diminished and diminishing heritages of the communities. We are very much concerned about issues of social cohesion, the diversity that we have in the country. And so we promote diversity that ethnicism. We can go to slide two, Andile, please. Then, Chairperson, this one is just to introduce you to the leadership of the commission. The Chairperson, Professor Msoma, Deputy Chair there, Dr. Sylvia Pito, and then myself and the CFO, Mr. Smart. The next slide, please. Then this presentation, Chairperson, outlines the purpose, the introduction, the institutional arrangements, the Commission's constitutional mandate, legislative mandate, progress on achievement of 2019-20 targets. We'll also touch the strategic plan for the fiscal years 2020 to 2025. We'll also talk to annual performance plan, which is the main business of the day, and also the media term expenditure framework. And we'll just talk to the challenges and then we'll have concluding remarks. Next slide, please. The purpose, Chairperson, is to give progress in respect of the implementation of the 2019-20 targets, the CRL Rights Commission strategic plan for the fiscal years 2020 to 2025. And of course, I've said annual performance plan for the 2020-2021 financial year. We'll also touch on the MTEF of institution and challenges encountered by the institution, but also come up with a recommendation at the end. Next slide, please. The strategic plan for the fiscal year 2020 to 2025 and annual performance plan 2020-21 have been crafted in line with the new DPME revised framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans. The Commission's work will contribute directly and indirectly to the following MTSF priorities, as I have summarized in our first slide, the issues of social cohesion and safe communities, a capable, ethical, and developmental state, and countries there. Let's go forward. Please. The next slide, please. The institutional arrangement. This institution is led by the chairperson, just for information for other members who have not interacted with before. And discharge his duties through the Policy Section 22 committees. These committees are very, very important because these are the committees that actually helps us to provide oversight to the work of the commission. So these committees are according to the arrangement of programs. We have research and policy development. We have public engagement and education committee. We also have legal services and conflict resolution committee. Communications, Marketing, IT and Linkages Committee, and Finance and Human Resources Committee. I must say, Chairperson, that the first four, you know, committees are mostly at the field at all times when they do their work. On the other hand, we see the administration on my right-hand side. Administration is led by the Chief Executive Officer, who is also the accounting officer of the organization. And the Commission has four programs and one support service function, which are research, public education, legal services, communications, and administration. So linked to the oversight 22 committees. Next slide, please. The Commission derives its mandate from the from Section 185-1ABC of the Constitution. Its main mandate is to promote respect for the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. We do that in order to promote and develop peace. These are the pillars of our operations. We do that in order to promote peace, friendship, which touches to issues of social cohesion, humanity, tolerance, and national unity among cultural, religious, and linguistic communities on the basis of equality, non-discrimination and free association. To recommend the establishment or recognition in accordance with national legislation of a cultural or other council or councils for a community or communities in South Africa. So we recommend the establishment of community councils. The Act 19 of 2002 gives commission some the objectives of the commission, applies the objectives of the commission, that of to promote respect for and further the protection of the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities in order to promote and develop peace, as I've mentioned, to foster mutual respect among cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. They need to respect one another, to promote the right of communities to develop their historically diminished heritage. Those that were marginalized before, we are to resuscitate their heritage so that they can come up to the level where other communities are. So recommend the establishment, of course, as I've said, of the community councils is part of our requirement. If I continue with the powers of the commission, Chair, it's very, very important just that I must emphasize the powers of the commission, that we conduct information and education programs to promote public understanding of the objects, role, and activities of the commission. This is the work that is done by public education and engagement program. Conduct programs to promote respect for the protection of the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. Sensitizing ourselves and the communities to respect one another. Assist in the development of strategies that facilitate full and active participation of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities in the nation building in South Africa for social cohesion. Promote awareness among the youth of South Africa of the diversity of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities and their rights. And B, very important one, because it tells us that we monitor and investigate any issue that is related to issues of culture, religion, and language in the commission. Facilitate the slides are not very clear there. I will use the presentation where I struggle. Facilitate the resolution of conflict between and within cultural, religious, and linguistic communities, or between any such community and an organ of state where the cultural, religious, or linguistic rights of a community are affected. So we come in where there are conflicts, and I've said in the past, Chairperson, that we even go to an extent where there are demarcation disputes that we are able to assist between the communities, like your Malamulele, Tunamela, your Matatiela, and others. We make recommendations.
See you. In the pace you are moving, you will consume the members' time to ask questions. Can you deal with the gist of the matter?
Okay.
Please.
Thank you.
I'm giving you 10 minutes to do that.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I'm then rushing to a slide that talks to 2019-20 targets. A preliminary report. The next slide, please. This slide, Chair, summarizes the targets that the Commission has actually achieved in 2019-20. And on the right-hand side, Chair, is the programs that we have used to achieve the targets. The next slide, please. The next slide, please. The completed projects in the year 2019-20, the Commission embarked on a program called Taking the Work of the Commission to Uncharted Areas. And through this program, the Commission had dialogues and engagement with various municipalities and traditional councils in Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, and Gauteng provinces in areas that the Commission never visited. This program will continue in 2021. And the Commission further conducted a research project, among others, African cultural marriages, traditions, and customs. The aim of the project was to highlight the customs and rituals that happens during African traditional marriages due to the fact that one person intends to, coming up with one marriage act in the country, and the aim is to inform and shape the legislation. I'm very fast now, Chair. Performance against predicament objectives 2019-20 financial year. This is just to indicate that all departments, all programs have achieved their targets. Next slide, please. The next slide, Chairperson, it shows our quarter-to-quarter achievement to show how we're progressing throughout the whole year in terms of our targets. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. We now turn to the strategic plan. We still stick with our vision of mutual respect among the cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. The mission is to foster the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. The values that the chairperson talked to at the beginning are they are on the right: transparency, responsiveness, accountability, respect, impartiality, integrity, and professionalism. Next slide, please. Then the programs that have different impact statements into programs. Program one is effective and efficient business management practices, facilitation of the resolution of conflict for development, peace, friendship, social cohesion, and nation building, and of course, conduct education, rediscover, as I've explained during the mandate. Next slide, please. Then the broader strategic direction just shows the outcomes there, 1, 2, 5 of our outcomes, and the indicators, intentions of those outcomes, and the targets that we intend to achieve in the next 5 years, if you look at the extreme right of the block there. Next slide, please. Then we get to annual performance plan. The same program, we are going to use the same program to achieve the annual performance plan. Next slide, please. Here are the outcomes, output, and the output indicators. As per the programs, the outcomes you can see, and the number of outputs and output indicators that we intend to achieve. In the first program, first outcome is 11, second is 3, third is 3, and we have 1 and 4. Next slide. Then we have program 1. Which is simply showing that output indicator 1, it depicts the number of plenaries that the commission will have, but also the oversight committee meetings. These are meetings of commissioners, all of them, throughout the MTF. Next slide, please. We continue again, program 1. Shows the kind of work that we do in terms of performance reports we need to produce and send to Parliament as well. The quarterly audit report that we must compile, that is a process that we do every quarter. Next slide, please. Again, on program 1, we always align, especially the fact that we now have a new strategic direction. We're aligning our performance agreements in line with the outcomes that are intended to be achieved by the strategic direction. Next slide, please. Still on program 1, the issue of organizational structure review is always done when you have worked on a new strategic direction. And then you have to train the employees in terms of according to our workplace skills plan. Next slide, please. Annual staff performance assessment is a norm. It's supposed to be done to gauge how we are performing as an organization and the employees in terms of our commitment to the work. Next slide, please. Quarterly audit findings register updated at all times and risk management workshops as required by our strategic direction. Next slide, please. And then, of course, we must follow all procurement processes as is outlined by all procurement respects. Next slide. Program 2 focuses on the cases, producing reports on cases that they are dealing with in each quarter throughout the whole year. And the next one, they give advices to the commission where it is needed, and they also, you know, evaluate the municipal bylaws, the bills in parliament, to check whether they are actually in line with the cultural, religious, and linguistic rights of communities. Next slide, please. Public education targets to do 24 awareness campaigns with communities on cultural, religious, and linguistic rights per annum, and then the workshops to be conducted with the community councils that we've established to empower them to get to understand the work of the commission, but also to advise the commission on its work. And then engagements with stakeholders, relevant stakeholders in terms of the work that we do. The Act just talked to us creating a database of the experts in terms of issues of culture, religion, and language. So we always engage with them as well. Next slide, please. With research, we target to produce 4 research reports on topics approved by the research committee. So we sit down and then we try and prioritize the topics that we are going to deal with. In 2021, some of them are language related. Next slide, please. Progress report on program 5, communications, just to give support to all programs to make sure that there is visibility, but also information dissemination through whatever media platform that we have, but also focusing on improving the infrastructure for IT, improving our IT infrastructure. Next slide, please. Next slide. Then we come to the issues of finances. Those are our revenues. Just to give a trend from 2016, 2017 to 2021, that's going to be our revenue as well. Transfers that were received from the department, I think the DG on Monday touched on that. And then those are the interest composition of employees there, and the lease payments that we have, the travel and subsistence, the audit costs and other operational expenditures. Next slide, please. The previous slide, please. The previous one. Again, in finances, we're just showing the transfer from the department, but also the money that is allocated to each program and how we execute our work in line with the budget. Next slide, please. Still have the same challenge, Chairperson. I want that picture first. Thank you. We still have the same challenge, Chairperson, that we are, if you look at my right-hand side, we are still operating at the city. We are trying to walk towards the rural areas there, but we are working on a very tight, tiny thread. The balance that as we walk, we have to try and keep, but sometimes it's difficult. We may fall into the ditch there, but our mandate is there. We are supposed to get to those communities, Chairperson. We don't have the provincial offices. We are operating here, just here at the city. And even when we go to engage with our communities, because of not having provincial offices, we need to be able to get to centralized areas like the cities. We don't get down to the rural deep areas. Next slide, please. This is what I was trying to explain. That where possible, we should always be prioritized when it comes to issues of resources. Next slide, please. Recommendation, Chair, that we should consider. Thank you so much, Chairperson. I think I've summarized.
You've tried your level best to summarize. Members, can I see a show of hands who wants to interact with this presentation?
Kaba.
Thank you, please, yeah. Chair.
Mkalipi.
Kaba, Brink, Teza, Mkalipi. Nita. Nita.
Operman.
Operman.
Toyia.
Toyia.
Zanda Mola.
Oh, yeah.
Mola.
Mola.
Nkosi Luthuli.
Nkosi Luthuli.
Thank you.
Sileku.
Sileku. Sileku.
Yebo mama.
We say Alice and H, ne? Okay. That's all. Okay. Let's start in that order. Kawa. Oh, who's this person?
Hi, Aisha. Hi, Chan.
Proceed. I'm good.
Okay.
Chairperson, let
me thank for the presentation from the CREL Commission Chair. My question is to be just in short because I'm not well, Chair. But Chairperson, I can hear the work that is done by the CREL Commission. But my question, because I didn't hear CREL say anything about the lockdown as we are in this crisis of the COVID-19. They are not saying anything, that just silence on that, Chair. Let me ask to the CLL Chair to say, since the lockdown has started, because when they are saying here, they are dealing with communities, or whatever program they are doing is based on engagement, communities, education of communities. Since the lockdown has started, what is the commission is doing? Because I asked this local chair, because the work of the commission is to engage with communities. If I may ask the chairperson, is any strategy or criteria and alternative to the CREL Commission in place to educate people about the COVID-19 social distance? Because you can see the CREL is dealing with the right of the people, but I don't know whether maybe they don't have, as they are crying about the budget, that their budgets are too little. Maybe they don't have a budget to communicate with people. Because why I'm asking this, Chairperson, there was a day where we saw Umakoti in a veil, who was put in the vehicle of the police in the van. But we didn't hear anything what the CIA said about that, because that thing, it was the culture, although was happening on the wrong time, but it was the culture. I was thinking that CIA will put in this to say they are condemning people who are not listening to the calls of the government, who are not adhered by the regulation of the government about the COVID-19. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Brink.
Thanks very much, Chair. The report is read and the presentation has been seen. What I always find interesting is that the commission, which is the Commission for Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Communities, has got very little in the way of projects for the advancement of linguistic communities. And if you do a search of the strategic plan and you search for language in that document, it's about 35 pages. Is about 6 references to language, and each one of those references is generic. It's not a particular project or an ambition or a goal. It just refers to platitudes. And I think that there is a great deal to be said for indigenous languages as a medium for literacy. when we promote indigenous languages, we promote literacy, and there's lots of studies that point to that. And my question would be, why do we see so little of it? Is it because the CRL does not receive queries or concerns from communities in regards to languages and indigenous languages? Is it too difficult a project to undertake? It would just be interesting getting the views of the chairperson and the CRL personnel on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Brink. Honorable Cesar.
No, thank you very much, Chair. With respect to you and the professor, I tend to be very respectful of people who are quite educated, and I tend to have a soft spot on them because I admire education first and foremost. And secondly, thank you, Professor, for the opening. I want to start here, Chair. Here in Parliament, Chair. Here in Parliament, we have documents that are disseminated to members of Parliament through two languages, Chair. Right? So what measures has the CRL Commission put in place to make sure that other languages that are protected in the Constitution are actually active beginning in Parliament? Because, Chair, if imagine saying to people that legalistically the languages are all protected, but you as Parliament, you are not doing that. You are not leading by example to actually protect that. So you can't be surprised when people do not take other languages very seriously, and dignity of people do not come to fruition, Chair. So what is it that the Commission seeks to do to make sure that this is done? Because I think that Parliament, if it begins with Parliament, everything else in terms of the dignity of languages, and to an extent of the Khoisan people and their languages. And to go on, Chair, in terms of covering those languages within the curriculum. But maybe that question of curriculum can fit in with the education department. But now we're talking to the CRL Commission. Secondly, Chair, the issue of patriarchy, my Chairperson. I want to make an example, Chairperson, and then come back to the question. You know, I read something in SPUMA, Special Planning and Land Use Management Act, right? Where they, amongst other allocations, they are saying that within the traditional council, right, they expect the traditional councils to be transformed, Chair. So this is what they allocate. They say that amongst other things, 44% of the people that are in those traditional councils, Chair, must be elected people. Number two, it must be women. A third of that council must be constituted of women. So what is it that the CRL Commission can do or is doing in terms of making sure that the protection of the rights of women within the traditional institution is protected? That's my question number two. Number three, there was a case, Chair, long before, when I was still busy with my music things, that I picked up on SAFM about the SPCA, which was an entity a long time ago that we don't want to mention, and now being outsourced by government to give injections to animals. Say in township they will come here and then do some animals, and those doctors will be paid by government. So with regards to this, along this there was a question of slaughtering of cows, Chair, if you remember. So how far has it gone in terms of addressing the slaughtering of cows and the view of the SPCA in terms of the dignity of cultural practices by black people in this country? That's number three. Number four, and the last one, Chair, should be the question of whether they have exhausted or had joint programs with the Department of Health during COVID-19, Chair, in terms of the exhaustion of and promotion of measures with regards to the healing abilities of Umhlonyane. Umhlonyane, Chair, I know that millions of people in South Africa get to be ashamed when we are speaking about traditional medicine. What is the role of the traditional leaders within the COVID-19 period and the religious leaders? What is the role of the traditional leaders within the command teams? Why are they not forming part of that, Chair? And with regards, lastly, Chair, with regards to values, I wanted to ask the professor whether there is an active dialogue that they can activate through the media, particularly for people who reside in rural areas. Emakaya, Chair. Active dialogue in the sense that drives at African values, Chair, rather than the received values of the West. I'm not against the received values of the West that came with colonialism and churches and so forth, but I'm saying that the received cultural practices of the West must be necessarily inculcated within the African culture. But what is it? Is there a dialogue, an active dialogue, in terms of the African values that should give rise to moral regeneration? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Teresa. Honorable Mkalipi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Professor, and the team for the presentation. I just want to start on the challenges that you listed on your presentation, whereby we saw a man walking on the thin line from town to the rural areas. Most of your work, Professor, is in rural areas, as the two members of Parliament have alluded to that fact. And even your slides, it's not convincing that you want to concentrate whereby you have clients, which is rural areas, whereby you depict yourself that you are walking in that thin line as if you are going to fall before you arriving in rural areas. So I just want to ask the Commission, why don't you think that it's high time to move to have your offices in rural areas, because that's where your base is at, if you are serious to do about your work? Secondly, Chairperson, I just want to get in your programs. Which programs that speak in terms of coordination, your programs of promotion and protecting the rights to culture, religion, and linguistic communities with the Department of Basic Education? Because if you don't have this promotion and protection of the rights to culture, religion, and linguistic at a basic level. And you have mentioned also in your document that you find it very difficult to convince, especially the youth, about your work as a commission. So I think there is high time to consider that you must have a program which speaks to the basic education. Let me tell you one of the reasons here. The former Model C schools, they don't teach our black kids their languages. So even the Department of Basic Education, they don't have that program. They don't have that program until we all of us who are stakeholders, including you as a commission, put that pressure, because we are breeding something else here. You are going to have a child who does not even speak his or her own language. We are breeding a makukunat here. So I think one of your roles is to make sure that we have a coordinated program with basic education. On program two, you are speaking about resolutions on conflict amongst and within cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. But me and you and everyone in South Africa, you know that if you don't address the issue of racism in South Africa, the commission will just remain irrelevant, because the fact of the matter, racism in South Africa is rife and it needs to be addressed. So I just want to get a commission on that one. So we can't just shy away on the issue of racism, that it does not take place in South Africa. It is taking place and it is a problem. So the sooner the better, the commission look at that matter as well. I also want to join my colleagues by asking your role during this COVID-19. Mam Kiza mentioned that we saw, I think it was Mtubatuba, whereby that wedding was taking place. And also we saw in Eastern Cape in other areas whereby abantu bebenze umsebenzi during COVID, ichithutshwala babo, and so on and so on. So in terms of your work is promotion and protecting the rights to culture, how do you balance your role during COVID-19 as the country is operating under the Disaster Management Act? So where do you fit in? We don't hear you saying that what happened in the Eastern Cape and then what happened in rural areas during COVID-19, how do you intervene as the commission? On a document that talks about police mandate, I just also want to join one of my colleagues who asked specifically, but what is the commission role? Because you spoke about cultural charter to Africa, and we have seen Madagascar coming forward to say that they are using that medication to deal with COVID-19. And you know, in South Africa and other countries, there's nothing about that what Madagascar is speaking about. And if you're saying that in your policy mandate, you have a cultural mandate as well in terms of the charter to Africa, I think you must also pronounce on yourself. We know that very well that the issue of COVID-19 is in the Department of Health, because it's a health issue. But it does not mean that as a commission you must keep quiet if there is a country through its president saying that as a country we have this as our remedy to the situation. You as a commission who's dealing with a cultural charter for Africa, you must also pronounce on that one to say that Department of Health, have you heard what Madagascar is saying? And the president of South Africa was seen also to having a meeting with other presidents, including Madagascar. So your perspective as per your policy mandate. And on some major achievements that you mentioned on page 12, we talk about investigative hearings on the cause of death in the initiation school. And I just want to get from the commission, how does it relate to the bill? Because there is a bill in place. So you mentioned that you have contributed to the bill, but you didn't just go in details. How did you contribute to the bill? Because this thing of cause of death in initiation schools is a cause for concern. Every time when this initiation schools is taking place, our youngsters are dying. And as a person, as a commission who said that we have also contributed to the bill, you must come clear and to tell us that how did you contribute to this bill? Because we need solution in terms of our youngsters who are dying during this initiation schools. I just want to concur with my member, Teresa, to say that we are very silent in terms of the patriarchy on the issue of women. So we are protecting the cultures. We know that some of the cultures are very oppressive to our women. So you must also speak to that in your programs to address those kind of issues. as most of your work is there in rural areas, and most of our women, I'm not saying that in informal settlement, in townships, and in townships, our women does not oppressed. But you know, when you talk about the culture, when you go towards the rural areas, the issue of patriarchy is still rife. It's still rife. So the commission must also tell us to, in their programs, where do they address those kind of challenges? Because we need some programs that talk to this issue of culture that seems to oppress our women. So no one must be oppressed in the name of the culture. That thing must be the thing of the past. Our women in rural areas, they must workshop, they must know their constitutional rights, they must be protected at all costs. And it is the it is the role of the government to make sure that those people are protected. The one thing, the last question, Chairperson, also on the some major achievement that you also mentioned on page 12, is about the recycling of the graves. And you are saying that they have assisted in finding alternative burial for traditional leaders because they have to go back and talk to their ancestors. It's not about only traditional leaders. If we are proudly saying that we have found alternative burial for traditional leaders, Black community at large, they want to practice those kind of things. So no one, especially the Black person, won't celebrate this alternative burial, because we believe that we have to go and talk to our ancestors after they have been buried. It's not about traditional leaders only, but Black community at large, they want to practice their cultures, their values, and their religions in their own graves. So I think in that achievement, you must also find, or we must have a program that talks to the Black community at large that's still practicing those kind of things. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mkalipi. The next person is Honorable Ngita. Honorable Ngita.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let's thank the Commission for the presentation, Chair. The first question, Chair, that I would like to ask from the Commission, from their program, they are talking about engagement
with... Unmute your mic, Honorable Nita. Unmute your mic, Honorable Nita.
Unmute your mic, Nita. Unmute.
Otherwise, we'll have to move to the next person. Is she doing that or not?
I don't think she's aware, Chair, that she's talking.
Welcome. Honorable Nita, are you there?
Yes, Chair.
Is that Honorable? Oh, even Enoch Tetra, you are here. Welcome. Can we move to Honorable Opperman in the meantime? Let's move to Honorable Opperman in the meantime.
Thank you, Chairperson. To the professor, through you, Chairperson, I want to speak on your program regarding research and policy development. The CRL report mentions they have a duty to give input on policies and legislation affecting cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. However, there is little example of the CRL engaging on major issues of concern for religious community. For example, I know that our Honorable Mamkize has a huge problem with the cultural, with the CSE. This has been a major issue for religious leaders as well as our traditional leaders, including King Goodwill Zwelithini. I want to know the hate crimes and the hate speech bill, particularly the impact of the bill on the religious community. The CRL has been silent on this bill for a very long time.
Okay.
There is a proposed new marriage act which intends to consolidate all different kinds of religious and other marriages in a single statute.
Can we ask Honorable Mthethwa to mute his mic? Because now he's disturbing the speaker who's speaking.
Honorable Mthethwa, can you mute your mic, please? Can I please plead with the members again? You must give the speaker an opportunity to speak, and you only do that when all your mics are muted. Because if you do that now, Honorable Mthethwa, we're listening to your conversation with the other people, and that's disrupting the meeting. Can we make sure that we mute our mics if we're not given a platform to speak in this meeting? Thank you so much, Chairperson of the Select Committee. Sincerely appreciate this intervention.
My apologies, Chair.
Can we proceed? Can we proceed, Honorable Opperman?
Chairperson, thank you. I was saying there's a lot of policies and legislation affecting the cultural, religious, and linguistic communities where the CRL has been silent. And they say they have a duty to give input on policies and legislation affecting these communities. But I know that they have been silent on the CSE. And this has been a major issue for both the religious leaders as well as the traditional leaders, including King Gugul Velatini. There's been the hate crimes and hate speech bill, particularly the impact of that bill on religious speech, and the CRL has been silent on that. There's a proposed new marriage act which intends to consolidate all different kinds of religious and other marriages in a single stature. The CRL has been silent on that. They have been silent on the amendments to the Children's Act prior to the Concord decision on this, so as to make physical discipline of children a crime. There is always silence on behalf of the CRL. I want to know, is there a budgetary concern that is hampering you to be silent on this? You are being cited saying you are embarking on uncharted areas. Shouldn't this be the uncharted areas where the CRL could have a real and lasting impact without budget iterations? This is the issue for the religious community that has a big impact on them. Then I want to know, regarding the NCC report and the adopted resolution, one of the strategic goals is to establish and maintain a database of CRL community organizations and institutions and experts in context of commercialization of religion. How will the CRL go about inviting registration by religious organizations? And do you have the budget for this level of detail required for this purpose? Then I want to speak on the program of public education and community engagement. Education is a big strategic goal for the CRL. I want to know, do they intend to visit these communities where abuses and malpractices, including non-compliance with the law and bad governance, has taken place to educate the communities, especially the pastors, with regard to their legal rights and legal obligations? And how much have you budgeted for education? Then I want to know my last question. With regards to your program for investigation and conflict resolution, in both the reports you mentioned of the court cases where cultural, religious, and linguistic rights are involved, yet there is no detail given. Are there a lack of legal capacity and possible incompetence if there are going to the Human Rights Commission and the CGE? And will there be an investigation into the excesses of legal fees you have incurred in the current year? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Opperman. The next person is Honorable Goyia. Over to you, Honorable Goyia.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me first join the queue in welcoming the report and also the presentation from CRL. However, Chair, I must indicate upfront that I'm a bit disappointed that the commission can only recommend that we should take them into consideration. But taking what? Because I thought the commission will tell us what their challenges are. Like, for example, they are giving us here a picture of a man walking on a tightrope from the city to the village. Now, if you walk on a tightrope, you may walk successfully and you may fall. Now, they are not telling us why are they walking on a tightrope instead of driving on a freeway. So I'm trying to say, Chair, that the commission should sit down and explain to us their challenges as well as their constraints, so that we can be able to make an intervention where possible. That's the first thing that I wanted to raise, Chair. The second issue is with regards to the commission itself. I would have loved a situation where when we are given the list of members of the commission, at least we are told in terms of their language proficiency. If we have people, for example, from the deaf community who speak sign language as members of the commission, so that we can see the composition of the commission and whether it is representative of all religious and cultural groups, as well as language groupings in the country. But also one would be very happy, Chair, if the commission can take note of the issue that was raised of the interpretation services in Parliament. That needs to be emphasized, and I think that's one thing that the commission should lead. In order to make sure that Parliament complies with the interpretation services. On the issue of initiation, indeed the location of the office of the commission is a cause for concern, because many of these problems happen in traditional rural areas, particularly, for example, if you look in terms of the issue of initiation. If you can follow up the deaths in initiation schools, Chair, many young men who die in initiation schools are children of single women who do not have men to intervene on their behalf. And the commission, if localized, would come in very handy to ensure that they intervene on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves, those who cannot represent themselves. And in that way, we will be able to reduce some of these things. So the issue of localizing the commission should be a priority, and they should make sure that it happens. You don't necessarily have to have a fully fledged office. You can form partnerships with local government, have space in the municipality, have volunteers for a start, who would be getting some stipend, of course, to be able to advocate for this thing, because that group of people who are members of the commission will not be able to reach out to every corner of the country every time. So that is very important, Chair, for the commission. And also the commission maybe may help us to comment from the Northern Cape point of view. What is the progress in terms of the recognition of the Khoi and the San languages? It would also be able to help us. Finally, Chair, we need mainstreaming of traditional herbal remedies. Most of the medicine, the Western medicine, if you look into the ingredients of those medicines, you will find out that these traditional African herbs are there, but they've been modified. But then we don't mainstream them in their raw form as strong as they are, as effective and efficient as they are. So that's the issues that I wanted to raise, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable Goyia, then it's Honorable Zandamela. Honorable Zandamela.
No, thanks, Chair. Mine is just one question. I would like to know the role that the Commission has played in the traditional courts bill. As we all know that it's with the legislature, and they will soon present their mandate to the NCO. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zandamela. Honorable Mola. Honorable Mola.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for your presentation. My first question, what is your role during COVID-19? My second question, regarding projects completed in 2019-2020, the Commission reports having embarked on a program called Taking the Work of the Commission to Uncharted Areas. Can you assist us with identifying which part of the 2019 and 2020 APP mentions this program and the allocation and the allocated budget to it? My last question, what role are the CR Rights Commissioners playing towards the realization of 2020 and 2021 APP's objectives? Can you provide examples of the commissioners' meaningful contributions? My last question, what objectively verifiable indicators are there to determine how well you are contributing to your goals of social cohesion and nation building? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mola. Honorable Nkosi Luthuli.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to start by asking that question, whether all the relevant representative of the faith-based organization have been consulted on the policy, on the proposal regulations as per public participation requirement. If not, why not? If so, what are the relevant details? The other question is that whether the CRL
has exhausted all the avenues to gather the public comment on the regulations proposed for the faith-based organization. If not, why not? If so, what are the relevant details? And the other thing which I'm concerned about is that sometimes at this present moment, Chair, we got something which help us, like this mood of ours as Africans. We commission. Uzosisizaphi ngoba vele le nto beyivele yenzeka nakudala. Lona nje kukhulunywa ngawo kuthi umhlonyane. Umhlonyane bekuthi noma ubani ophethwe umkhuhlane uphalaziswa ngawo, achathwe ngawo, azegqume ngawo ukuzemboza ukuze umkhuhlane usheshe uphele, abelungu babengakabi khona ngalezo zikhathi. Kumanje-ke sibona esiyekelela ngoba kuyinto esibonakala ukuthi izoba nomphumela omuhle ukuze abantu baphethe eSouth Africa. Yena-ke usizaphi-ke? Ngiyabonga mhlawumbe.
Thank you, Honorable Ndabezitha Inkosi Luthuli. Honorable Seku.
Seku, Chair. I mean the KU. Oh, thank you, Chair. No, Chair, I'm partly covered by Honorable Mola, but my question will be to the Commission. In their own view, would they say that the work that they are supposed to be doing is
Members, it's only me who can hear you.
And everybody that they are supposed to engage with. You know, and then if not, how are they going to make sure that the kind of work that they are currently doing, and they
Can we move to the next speaker, being Honorable Hussein?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I don't have a question, but I do want to share an experience with the Portfolio Committee and make a brief comment, if I may. Chair, you'll recall towards the latter part of last year when the CRO Commission came before us in the Portfolio Committee and in the National Assembly. I raised a concern about the increasing tension in the Indian community in particular.
Can you hear me? Yes, Chair. I've been sabotaged here. Chair, can you hear me?
Because you were not audible, so can you allow Honorable Hussein to complete, then you'll come after him. Nobody were unable to hear you, then we had to
move to the next person. Then we'll come back to you if you are now audible. Can we allow Honorable Hussein to finish?
Yeah, Chair, I was referring to the last meeting we had towards the latter part of last year when we were in the National Assembly. And you'd recall I brought to the attention of the Portfolio Committee as well as the CRL Commission the increasing tensions between in the Indian community and animal activists around the use of fireworks in during Diwali celebration. And I want to say to you, Chairperson, and to the rest of the members of the Portfolio Committee, that within a matter of days of raising that issue in the Portfolio Committee, the CRL Commission immediately took steps to bring different communities in Durban together to try and start some sort of a social dialogue so that they can promote some level of tolerance between those two communities. Well, it was one single event, and of course there's much more work that needs to be done because this is a long-standing issue, the lack of tolerance around cultural rights in the Indian community around Diwali. But for me, the point I want to make to the committee chairperson is that it is exactly those type of incidents where there is growing tension between different race groups and different cultural groups that the CRL Commission must play a role. And indeed, they have done so. To their great advantage with all of the media coverage they received, it did have some very positive effects on the ongoing tensions. But of course, I would like to see that it happen more often, but I wanted to express my appreciation to them for their rapid response at the time when it was needed. And I wanted to share that information with the Portfolio Committee. Chair, may I just make one other comment? And it relates to the issue of the work, and the importance of the work of the CRL Commission. I agree with the views that have been expressed by all of the members of the Portfolio Committee. In particular, when Honorable Brink speaks about the lack of activities around language in our country, and then, of course, my other members as well around cultural rights, and I add my voice to that, that I would like to see that the CRL Commission is more actively engaging communities to uphold the number one priority in our Constitution, which is the promotion of cultural rights and promotion of tolerance. That is their number one priority. Apart from the protection part. Because if you get the promotion right, then there's very little work that needs to be done for protection, because then you educate communities on tolerance and teach them about the diverse community cultural groups that we've got in our country. The big problem we have, Chairperson, and it's something that I think all of us need to add our voice to. I've raised this issue before, but I want to raise it again in a much more stronger fashion. Because if we're not going to get the funding model right for the CRL Commission, we are wasting our time putting all of these questions to them. To put the budget into perspective, Chair, for the financial year that's coming, they've got 47 million rand. Yesterday, we had the mayor of a Tigray municipality here, and he told us about the amount of money that they're spending on food parcels during the lockdown. And the value of that food parcels, Chairperson, is 66 million rand. That amount is much more than the amount of money that the CRL Commission has got for an entire year to do the work that they need to do. We've got 11 different languages in our country. Many people don't understand the other languages. With each of those language groups come different cultural rights as well. We have such a diverse community, and given the history of where we come from, Chairperson, the issue of intolerance in our society is largely because people don't understand each other's cultures and don't have sufficient respect for people's languages. And this is a massive problem in our country. If we want to get social cohesion right in South Africa, we're going to have to make a much greater investment in the CRL Commission for them to be able to do their work. The current expenditure that they have, more than 70%, I think, of that money actually goes towards paying off salaries and administration. And there's about 20-something percent that's left for the actual work that needs to be done. That's hardly anything. In fact, I wouldn't be wrong if I can say that the amount of money that we spend on catering in Parliament is probably more than the work that the CRL Commission has to do. So I'm raising this issue, Chairperson, because I really would like us to put it on the top of our agenda when we engage with the CRL Commission. And we, as public representatives who are supposed to hold government accountable, is to hold them accountable for the amount of money
that they are giving to a commission as important as this is. It's a critical a commission that needs to get critical work done in our country, and we must please add our voice to increasing the amount of money that's allocated to the CRL Commission. But thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation to the CRL Commission. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Honorable Hussein. Honorable Mpumza.
Thank you.
Unmute that mic of yours, Honorable Mpumza. Unmute your mic. Honorable Mpumza. Unmute your mic. I'll go back to Honorable Sileko. Are you ready?
I'm ready now. Chair.
Okay. Yes.
Chairperson.
Okay. Proceed.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, in welcoming the presentation by the CRL Commission, I have only three questions. Recognizing that the mandate of the CRL Commission is very, very critical and very important, and it poses a huge task which requires a sufficient resource mechanism, can the Commission actually tell us as to say that in the very important work that they are doing in the promotion in protection of the cultural and linguistic rights, how has this COVID-19 lockdown impacted on the work of the Commission in actually realizing the promotion of cultural and linguistic rights, in particular, that the regulations have actually come in to regulate gatherings in the churches as well as in the traditional institutions and some traditional rituals. What critical balance has the Commission come up with to ensure that while regulations are being applied, but also their work of promoting cultural and linguistic rights is actually protected. Also, Chair, within that context, what is the view of the interfaith organizations in relation to this COVID-19 lockdown, given that in the stakeholder engagement, they were consistent and they were vocal to say that they would not like the state to interfere with the freedom of religion and individual rights. How then the Commission is striking that critical balance between the regulations to flatten the COVID-19 and the promotion of freedom of religion? That's one question, Chair. The second question, Chair, to me, is that the Commission is refocusing and rediscovering diminished cultures as well as diminished languages. Now, given that what they have presented is a challenge of accessing communities, how far has this lockdown impacted on the work of actually rediscovering and refocusing cultural and linguistic life that had been diminishing or that had been exterminated? In view of the fact that they have a huge challenge of relocating themselves from the urban setting where they are located into engaging robustly with the traditional communities to ensure that the work of the Commission is actually understood by rural communities as well as communities in the urban settings, so that they could actually assist in establishing a robust engagement so that their cultural and their linguistic rights are indeed promoted and protected. The last one share would be that the African tradition and religion in particular, the traditional healers, in view of the fact that Madagascar had come up forward with this organic medicine, is perhaps some form of a chore into this. What is the commission actually doing now that traditional healers are mobilizing around this organic medicine, umhlonyane, that they are not part of government, actually government coming in as part of the relief so that they could practice the moving forward. Then what is the view of the commission in that? And are they actually on the toes that traditional healers are mobilizing, saying to government, we are not catered in this relief fund so that we actually realize our own practice. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mpumza. Honorable Seleko.
Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, you'll have to start afresh because you got hung the time you were making your input.
Can I start in Afrikaans, Chair?
Anyway, after no, all, we're dealing with the commission here.
Yeah, my right must be protected. No, thank you, Chair. No, Chair, mine is basically to latch on to, the latter speaker in terms of the work of the commission. And mine is basically want to know, you know, in terms of the commission itself, is their work well understood by the masses that they should engage in? Like your traditional healers, like your religious people. Why I'm asking that question, Chair, is because I remember last year the commission was engaging with the religious sector, and there were different views saying that the commission has its own agenda. It wants to close churches. So when you hear such things, you know, for people that are leading masses, you become very worried. So, and their core function basically is to make sure that there is social cohesion and nation building.
We are having...
Can you hear me, Chair?
You are having that. Yes, you are cutting, but you need to, yeah, you are being cutting. Try again to get the proper location, maybe.
I want to tell you my Gunzi, Master.
Yeah, ne? Proceed.
Can you, no, mine is to make sure Uguti, that the people, the broader public of the country does actually understand the role of the commission. And why I'm asking that...
Of the portfolio committee, we can't hear anything now.
No, it's fine, then I will skip, Chair, it's fine.
My apologies... Yeah. Honorable member.
I will pass. Thank you very much, Chair. I won't delay you any further. Thank you very much.
At least I think
I hear him very well.
You can hear him very well. Me too, I can hear you.
I can hear him everywhere.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I was hearing him too.
Yes.
Me too.
Honorable, we hear him, Chair.
We hear him, Chair.
Honorable Seleko, can you proceed?
Should I start from the beginning or should I start from the end? Continue, boy.
From the end.
Cuba, from
we,
where?
We heard you. We heard you.
No, Chair, basically what I'm saying is that if the role of the commission is not well understood by the masses, then it will give them problems going forward. So what I would like to know from the commission, what other strategies or alternatives will they be engaging in making sure that their role is well understood?
That is good.
So that we don't hear when they engage with the church, you know, we, it says, okay, no, you want to close our...
Can you mute him? You need to end it there, Honorable Siloku. No, we need to. Okay. I think he has tried his level best. Unfortunately, the...
No, Chair, thank you. It's fine, Chair. You can continue.
Okay. Mine is...
Can we talk on the...
No. Can we first deal with this? You had your faith and...
Can Mteto come in?
Mteto. Okay. Then Nita will come after you. Okay. Proceed, Mteto.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Firstly, my apology. In that mute, I didn't see it at that time. It was always off. My apology to everybody in the meeting. Secondly, Chair, I know that the CRL was dealing with a very good program last year that Selepa was talking about, a problem of finding a way of regulating, in particular, the issue of the churches. After we have witnessed a number of things that were happening there, people eating, drinking petrol and other stuff. I just want to know, Chair, that now, after the public hearing that the COCTA has done, is there any way forward? How far with that program? And there were issues that were investigated as well. You remember the Ngobo matter. Those matters, can the commission also tell us what programs do they have so that what happened last time, it never recurs again, Chair. So I just want to know that in that sector, among the broader mandate that they have, what programs do they have for this, for them, especially this year? And lastly, the issue of funding. Who, in terms of their plan, going to fund their imbizos for such program? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Nita.
Thank you very much, Chair. My apologies. Let me go straight to the issue of a recommendation by the professor on the establishment of the community council. The professor was not quite clear as to what exactly impeded or stopped them from establishing such committee, especially that is touched on section 36 and 37, I'm sure, of the act that governs the commission. So can you be specific as to what exactly he would like us as the committee to help him to establish such committee? Two, Chairs, he has also touched, the presentation touched on engagement of community. And what I would like to know, Chair, now that you are involved in the period of what is the plan of the commission to continue with their planned program of engaging their communities, because their work depends on engagement of stakeholders. The third question, Chair, is on the issue of evaluation of the bylaws. The bylaws are drafted by municipalities. What is it that they have picked up that caused them to think about the evaluation of the bylaws? Are the municipalities involved or COCTA or at a national or at a provincial level in terms of them starting this issue of evaluating the bylaws? The last point, Chair, we have recently passed a bill that talks to the COIS and in their program on languages. I didn't hear them talking about a program that starts to engage COIS and science communities in terms of coming with the language that will be suitable for them. Can they talk on that? Thank you very much, Chair.
Ngita. I think that concludes the list of the people who wanted to interact with the presentation. But one feels need, I realize the chair of the select committee is still around. Is there questions that you want to ask, Honorable Chair? So it means yes.
Honorable
Chair? Yes, left.
No, I'm here.
Are the issues that you want to raise, Honorable Dodo?
Yes, I'm just going to be to be very, very brief about what I'm going to say. Firstly, I want to support all members who are saying that the Commission will not be in the position to achieve its mandate, its vision and strategic objectives with the budget that is allocated to it. Maybe we need to sit down and say, what is it that we can do? Because the work of this commission is very much important. We are who we are as South Africans because of our language. It is because of our culture, the diversity of the cultures that we have. It is because of the religion that we subscribe to. And the work of the commission is very much important in this regard. And with such a mega budget, this is going to be very, very much problematic. And I propose that going forward, we need to sit down and say, what is an ideal situation and what interventions can be made to ensure that the commission succeeds in this regard? This commission is one of the Chapter 9 institutions, one of those which do not have offices in the provinces. And like Honorable Mkalipa indicated, their work is based, the work of the commission is based in the rural areas. That is where people are suffering in terms of the language. That is where the cultures are practiced. That is where the religion, the African religion in particular, are practiced. And it has no footprint in the rural areas. And this is an issue, in my view, that must be attended to as a matter of urgency. We have a big problem at the moment in South Africa, especially in terms of the proliferation of these churches that are coming with their own practices, with their own ways of doing things that are totally unacceptable and are out of line and are not in line with our culture and practices in South Africa. And the role of this commission is to monitor that, is to ensure that there are regulations and all the necessary processes to regulate these particular churches. And with this kind of budget that the commission is having, my view is that it is not going to be in the position to achieve its objectives. And therefore, at the center of what we are going to do and say is to ensure that the commission itself is capacitated, is enabled to do its work, and therefore it is allocated the necessary resources and it has the necessary footprint at the local level as well as the provincial level. This is how we are going to promote our own languages, the 11 official languages, and this is how we are going to promote the culture that is diverse in terms of how we are as South Africans. And those are my contributions in terms of what is it that we need to do, Honorable Chair, to move the process forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think most of the issues have been covered by the members, including the Honorable Chair, as he was raising some of the concerns. But the issue of the major gap in the visibility of the commission in communities where it's needed most, and in particular, the involvement of youth on CR-related matters, is a challenge. And then one wants to know what would be the CRL be doing in addressing this challenge. Then the issue of resources. We have heard you saying that, but then are there any other challenges that prohibit the entity from fulfilling its legislative and policy mandate, and what is the commission doing to address the issue? The CRL has been accused for lack of oversight.
What is the CRL doing in strengthening its oversight role to ensure that the work that needs to be done is done meticulously without fear or favor? We have witnessed this when it comes to the public hearings we had early in March this year, wherein there are serious contestation. But I think the bottom line when I'm raising this is that the CRL Rights Commission has got the mandate as enshrined by Section 185 of the Constitution. Hence, that work that they were doing on the issue of the commercialization of religion, I think it was a great work that the commission needs to be commended on, because we have seen some religious leaders in our society infringing the rights of innocent people. But around that, given the mandate in terms of the Constitution and the CRL Act, what is it that the CRL will do proactively to prevent the infringement of human dignity? Over to you, Chairperson and the team. It has been a marathon of questions, comments, inputs, but can you then try to address all the members' concerns as raised? You have the whole full hour to do that. Over to you, Professor Musoma and team. Professor Musoma, CEO, Deputy Chairperson.
I'm here now.
So
I'm here, Chair.
Okay.
Can you see me?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Chair. I think first and foremost, I would like on behalf of the Commission to express our deepest appreciation for the frank and candid questions and probing concerns from the Portfolio Committee members. Yes.
Professor, can you go
ahead? I hear you.
On your chair.
Sorry?
We're only seeing your chin. We want to see your whole body. Can
you
go
ahead? You see me now?
Go up.
You see me now?
Move up and move to your right. Yes, Prof.
You see me now?
Yes.
Okay.
That's better.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Move to the... Yes, you must sit like that.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I expressed the first and foremost our appreciation for the frank and robust exchange of questions, probing questions, which I think are important in the nature of building the commission. We really appreciate that. The second issue, Chairperson, is that the first part of the questions that were raised, I had a problem with my system. I couldn't hear them, but I'll defer that to some of the members in the team. Let me start off with the issue of patriarchy, especially with regard to the suppression or oppression of women in the rural areas. What CRL's role is in that regard. We must bear in mind that the role of CRL is to protect the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. And when these rights come up, it is important that we deal with them as expeditiously and as effectively as possible. Our dealing with this issue is embedded in our program. Our program is public education and engagement, where we raise issues of concerns. And where there are violations of this, we will then get reports and we investigate. And the culprits are actually brought to book by referring the matter to the organ of state. And that's how we operate as a CRL Commission. We have had lots of women reporting to us, not only about
the oppression within the rural areas, but within the urban areas as well. As I speak now, we have a list of women who are being oppressed in a particular church environment. We have called in the organ of state. We have called in the CGE in a collaborative manner to try to solve this problem. In the next few weeks, these issues will come to light. Some of them have already appeared in the newspapers around the country. Patriarchy is still a problem, both in the rural and in the urban areas. The issue of slaughtering, CRL engaged with this particular issue, where the issue of sensitivity with regard to the cultural rights of people in terms of slaughtering is a matter that cannot be denied of our people. This is a matter we seized with. I think, if I'm not mistaken, some recommendations were made in that regard to ensure that it's a question of informing the people around you if you are in the urban area, but the issue of the right to slaughter is an issue which is also a right of communities to exercise. The other question, Chairperson, has to do with the role of religious and cultural leaders with regard to participation in the COVID command team. Chairperson, that is not our call to make, because the team is led by government, and people who form the command team are invited to it. So even ourselves are not part of it. And so the only time I remember very well is that we had a meeting, a consultative meeting with the traditional leaders, where the government briefed them about the COVID-19. And the traditional leaders actually concurred and supported the lockdown measures. And the second was the call of the religious leaders by the president to brief them and consult with them on the lockdown. And these, in that particular meeting, were not present, but we read that the religious leaders also concurred with the lockdown. Now, what did we do after that? After they had concurred, both traditional and religious leaders, we said to them, it is important that they comply with the lockdown. Why? The premise is that at the center of it all, it was not only the rights, it was about the sanctity of human life. Because the basic thrust of lockdown was not to punish any community and deny any community of their rights. At the center was the protection and preservation of the South African life. So this, at each and every turn, we appealed, we spoke to our communities about the importance of preserving and protecting South African lives. So this is the issue, the role we're playing. And the other issue, Chairperson, very, very important, how do we activate dialogue that ensures the preeminence place of the African value systems? In our plan, which we embarked on as a new commission, we spoke about different dialogues that are going to be called in. One will be a dialogue that speaks only about values, trying to look at each and every community that belongs to CRL. What are the values that must be extracted or brought forth so that these values as a collective become the bedrock of building a new society? So these dialogues are going on. It's a process, a work in progress, because there must be religious cohesion, there must be cultural cohesion, and there also must be linguistic cohesion. And unless these cohesions take place, it will be difficult to come with a common value system. So we are working towards a common value system which is shared by everybody, underpinning the issues of tolerance and respect and friendship. And we think also that in pursuit of the African value system, we need to rediscover also, or to recover the values of Amalima or Matsema, let's say, the issue of the economic aspect of value system, which is called Mafisa, which was a system that empowered people who were very, very poor in rural areas. And these value systems reside in cultural values system of our people. So we'll look across the cultural environment to scan this environment, identify these issues for use for all of us. Now, the way questions raised by Honorable Mkhalipi about moving offices to rural areas where the work is. Our view is not a question of where the office is. Our view is that we need to deal with decentralization as a model of work. Because even if you have to move an office to, say, KwaZulu-Natal, you'll still be limiting that office to other places. But if we deal with issues of decentralization, partnership with other government institutions, finding mechanism of funding to make sure that we have foot soldiers on the ground in areas where our people are directly affected, I think this will actually help. But this can only help if you have the budget. Which programs do we have with regard to coordinating education with basic education? Here, I think it's a very important point which we must take, and that our public education and engagement must begin to focus on this particular issue. However, we have indicated, I think in my opening remarks, that we are working towards partnering with schools where we begin to have discussions and debate on CRL topics, religion, culture, and language, so that these issues are no longer issues that are abstract, but are issues that emanate also from the classroom. So this is one of the areas of emphasis which we as CRL are going to do, to embark on. And we agree with Honorable Mkhalipi that model C schools will not teach our children our languages. And also the downside of this is that as we teach languages, unless our languages become languages of record, language of commerce, these languages will not be promoted because they are not languages to be used when one applies for a job. So we are saying it is important that these languages, as we promote them, they must become also languages of record, languages of commerce, languages of education. For example, when you go to universities, you must be able to write your dissertation in your mother tongue. And that will be one way of promoting the languages of our people. The issues of conflict resolution, taking into account the issue very critical in our environment, racism. We agree. And in fact, one of the challenges mitigating against realization of social cohesion is, among other things, racism. Economic inequality, economic exclusion. Unless if we talk social cohesion merely as a theoretical presupposition. But if it is a way of life, it is important to make sure that our people participate in the economy to earn their dignity, because it is a point of earning your dignity that you participate in social cohesion. So racism, indeed, is an area which we must fight, we must deal with, we must address. CRL. Hello? The issue, of course, of CRL in terms of balancing the Act, its Act in terms of protection and promotion during the COVID-19 pandemic. Of course, we have not been to areas where certain acts happen, but we monitored each and every activities. And because we're not able to be present each and every places, we released media statement to condemn certain acts that were mitigating against the promotion of cultural rights of people. Except when it comes to violation of the regulation itself, because that is beyond us. But when it comes to violation of the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities, we're there and we condemned with the strongest terms possible. When it comes to herbal medicine, it's just that we delayed in issuing a statement, which I thought it would have done before today. In fact, we talked about it last week already, is that we support the fact that there be a collaboration between our institutions of medicine and our traditional healers to develop African herbal medicine, which has been proven to many that it exists, but we want that collaboration to begin to take place by establishing what one calls the African Institute for African Herbal Medicine. And this is part of our support that there are possibilities and potential for striking a very important balance in terms of the development of a strong and efficacious medicine in South Africa. The death of initiation schools and the bill, the new bill that has been written. Well, we participated somewhat in the development of the bill because majority of the issues that are in the bill were also raised in our commercialization of religion with regard to the illegal schools, with regard to botched circumcision, penal amputations, and so forth and so forth. So for you to find a way that the cultural rights of initiation is it's a right which nobody should take away. But it's a right which we must protect by making sure that we have systems, we have institutions that protect it, unlike using it as a system that takes away the lives of young people of our country. So we support the precautions that are contained in the bill to ensure that we protect the lives of our people, of our youngsters in the initiation schools. The issue of our silence with regard to Pataki, I raised, actually, I addressed that. The recycling of graves is a matter which was also raised. We addressed this particular issue, and the issue we discovered was that certain graves were recycled specifically because some of the owners of their graves, maybe the living families, would not afford to put a tombstone. So they would give a period of time. If you're not able to put a tombstone, then they will recycle, they will remove the remains of your family and put a new cup inside. So what we tried to deal with here is that the best we think this matter could be addressed is that instead of recycling grave by putting different bodies in there, let them put bodies of the same family so that those who go there to conduct their African rituals or traditional rituals, they must not speak to a dead body which does not belong to them. So we're trying to promote that and try to get some support for it, understanding that some communities are complaining about burial sites, which are far in between. But we are saying maybe the best way is to make sure that instead of recycling the grave, putting a different body, you can put relatives of the same family in the same grave. I think that we thought that will help. The issue of research and policy development, and that the honourable Opperman raised, that we are very little in terms of contribution in this particular area. I think we do have, but maybe that the contribution that we are making has not made its way quite clearly, but it could well be the contribution that we made should have made its way to the portfolio committee from time to time in areas in which we make a contribution to the contrary. For example, even in the hate speech, crime bill, we participated, I remember, we participated with the traditional, with the religious leaders, where the issue was really about the possibility of them being criminalized by using a biblical language. So the issue of protecting the rights of religious people in terms of preaching from their own texts is one that we fight to protect, except if it is not criminal, it's not criminal, it is not anything of that sort. So we tried our utmost to do this. Issue of budgetary constraints, yes, indeed, I think we do have that. And the resolutions that came out of this NCC with regard to, let me see here, with regard to the database, how we are going to work on the database. I think if you look into our plan, that issue of database has been put at the center. The issue of resources in terms of doing this is what we have not calculated. It's something we are going to be looking at quite seriously, because it requires a lot of resources to make sure that we have a very reliable database, and which even government can rely on for its work with regard to cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. With regard to the excessive legal fees, whether investigation has been done, I think it is important to say that as far as we are able to determine, we have looked into the legal fees, and we've discovered that the legal fees was what was the cost given to us. It was not something excessive, and we are satisfied about that outcome. Thank you so much. Okay, the issue of walking on a tightrope, of course, it tallies up with the issue which was raised earlier on with regard to the urban and rural area situation, whether we need to move to the rural area in order to give effect to our work. The point I've made is that we show the two areas, the one which requires us most, but the resources for us to reach there is far in between. That is the point we're trying to make with that picture, that we need the resources to capacitate the commission in order to do its work through a process of decentralization model, which I think could help us to do this work. The issue of the commissioner itself with regard to language proficiency. We have commissioners of different language persuasion, except Khoi and San. We have the sign language. We have different languages that exist in our country, and the commission is in fact has a pedigree in terms of its composition of men and women who would be able to pursue the issue of languages quite expeditiously. And secondly, where we realize we have a language problem, we do deploy commissioners from another area in order to support the work of the commission in one of the areas where the last language is needed. So we are versatile in that regard, because we want to make sure that we meaningfully engage our commissioners in the work of the commission. Okay, the initiation service, of course, there's an issue with regard to death of children, of single women in the in those initiation schools. Of course, this is also about the issue of decentralization, of making sure that we go there to be able to be closer and to intervene. But I think we are working with the traditional leaders who are very, very close. We are working with the provincial leaders, and we are working with also our community councils who are located in those areas. If there are difficulties, they are able to participate. And we also work with municipalities. You'll recall that we suspended for the last 2 years initiation schools in Gauteng, because it was a collaborative effort, municipalities, traditional leaders, and the province, that we're able to say we want to save lives, because the initiation schools has now become a criminal activity in that area. Further, Chairperson, the issue of the recognition of the Khoi and San languages. Let me hasten to say that we are at the level of promotion of the language. The PenSouth, South African Board, has the responsibility of the development of the language. For now, we have had an opportunity to go to the Northern Cape, where there was the launch of the dictionary, of the Khoi and San dictionary, and also the atlases that are taking place in Khoi and San languages in the Eastern Cape, which means the issue of the language of Khoi and San is not only a matter that we are going to be working on, it's a matter which is now being promoted, because there's a dictionary now, and the language is due for use by the community there. The issue of need for speedy African herbal medicine, I addressed that. What did the commission, our role in the traditional courts bill, I indicated that. The question from the Commissioner Mueller, what is your role in COVID-19? And of course, I indicated our role. We continue to play our role even now. We respond to the questions
Chairperson.
Yes.
Before you are called to order, there's no commissioner yet, honorable members, eh?
Oh, sorry. Now, my apologies.
I hope
my confusion.
Yes,
my
honorable Mula will have said I'm an honorable member.
Please, I know. Accept my apology. Accept my apology, Chair. It's a linguistic typo. Our role in COVID-19 it's continuing. We are participating as essential service. We respond to questions that our communities are raising, either virtually or through the media, because that's the only vehicle available to us. Now, the area of uncharted the uncharted areas. I will ask the CEO to deal with that. He will deal with the uncharted areas. What is the role of the commission or a gainful or meaningful contribution of the commission? When the commission started 5 years ago, this question was raised as one of the pivotal questions, because the commission was said to have been organized in a corporate manner. In other words, it became more offices that were not concerned about community activities. But this has now changed, because the Kadasmal report made this criticism very forcefully and clearly. That arrangement has changed. It has become more community focused and less office focused. And the reason why the resources go into the office focus is that the capital or the salary of the office maintenance are much more than the amount of money we have to do the work. So as Honorable Hussein indicated, it could be in the region of 20-25% to do our work. So we need more resources to be able to do the things that I have heard honorable members raised, which I think are very, very important and very, very useful for us to take to heart as a commission. What are the tangible examples of our contribution to social cohesion? And that was one of the questions. The tangible examples in terms of social cohesion comes in many ways. One of those ways is through engagement with communities. We have had through public education and engagement to ensure that we bring communities together and they raise issues that are of importance to them. And because it's a snail's pace process, but we believe that the issues of common value system, which we are trying to engender, the issues of tolerance, which has now picked up among religion, you don't have the intolerance so much explicitly expressed in public, although it does exist in the religious environment. We have a lot of interfaith organizations that include African traditional religion, African healers, and Western Christian faith, and so forth. And so. This is part of the nuclear of building from the beginning upward of a socially cohesive society in our country. The issue which was also raised about the role, I think it was raised by Honorable Lutuli, regarding the involvement of religious leaders and religious and traditional leaders in the COVID command structure. And as I indicated that this is a matter that is solely in the hands of government, but we participated, I remember, in those two instances that I've cited before. Consultation with faith-based communities is the same. They were consulted from that structure, as I indicated, in those meetings that which took place. The issue of Umsanyani herbal medicine, why don't we rally around it? We are saying as CRL will support that there be a structure that deals with this particular issue. And the comment from Honorable Hussein, thank you so much for lifting up the some of the key involvement in trying to deal with the conflict in KwaZulu-Natal among the communities there, and we'll continue to do that. And it's important that we at least can show forth that if we have resources, we have the will, we have the commitment to make a change. Okay, and then for issue of financial resources, I think that has been raised. If I miss other issues, some colleagues will take them up at a later stage. Some colleagues will take them at a later stage. The question from Honorable Pumza. The question was, how did COVID-19 impacted on the promotion and the protection of the theoral rights communities? Yes, it has impacted on this because some of the rights are conducted in a group fashion, but of course the groups were also limited, and some of the rights with regard to traditional leaders that were streamlined could not take place.
Honorable Mkalipi, can you mute your mic? Honorable Mkalipi. Honorable Mkalipi. Can you mute your mic, Honorable Mkalipi, please? Okay, proceed, Prof.
Yes, our role really is to balance the two. And the challenge we have is about life and rights. Life and rights. Because only when you live, you can exercise your rights. But if you are dead, there are no rights. So we are saying that the lockdown, as I indicated, the express purpose was not to punish our communities. From our understanding, was that we will enjoy our rights as communities, enjoying our celebrations the way we know how. But if people die, then we have the downside of it. So we try to balance the two. The compliance to the regulation, as long as that does not take away the rights of our communities or infringe on them. Of course, yes, we are now refocusing, as the honorable member said, on diminished and diminishing heritages. And it's a challenge to do that, because it's not only to unearth them, it's to make sure that they have a space to be promoted and communities are able to follow through and exercise them and use them as a basis to build communities going forward. Of course, the issue of relocating to the rural areas, I addressed that. The issue of herbal medicine, I addressed it. The issue of whether or not the Commission understands its role and work, especially under the conflagration of claims that the Commission has its own agenda, which was to close churches. Far from it. If you look at the commercialization of religion, one of the key output which can be discerned in the report was the protection of the rights of religion, freedom of religion. We kept it through and through. I remember we were forced at some point to participate in closing a church in Tswane. We said the role of the commission is not to close churches, because we were pushed to do that. And we steered very clear against closing churches. Our sole responsibility is to promote and protect the rights of and the freedom of religion. But that freedom of religion is conditioned upon the respect of human dignity, because human dignity is sacrosanct. It cannot be negotiated. So which is why in my opening remarks, I raised the issue of whether or not human conduct can be regulated. Whether there's any law that could assist in dealing with the violation of spiritual, psychological abuse of people's belief systems. So these are the challenges that we as CRL are in. We do understand our mandate, and we interact with our communities, and they do know that we don't close churches. Our role is to protect their existence and to make sure that their existence should not be one that violates the rights of those who are members of their own institutions. And these are the clear cut categories that we're making very, very clear. And of course, you'll recall, Chairperson, our conference early in January with the international community dealing with the place of human dignity in the religious environment, so which is very key to this. So we do know that, and we have strategies, and we interact with the communities whenever it's possible on matters that they may deem necessary for us to intervene and resolve. Of course, thank you so much, Honorable Mteta, with regard to the commercialization of religion report. We have shared with the portfolio committee. We have addressed the new portfolio committee about these issues. And of course, it's now in the process. In fact, we are supposed to have had a second bite with the a dialogue with other religious leaders, but it didn't work as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown. The question raised by Honorable Mita, what stops us from establishing community council? We have 300 community councils, which means we have established them. They do exist. So there may be more that should be added, but we do have that number already in existence. What is our role and our programs during the COVID-19? And of course, physical programs cannot be followed up because we are all locked down. But I think as the stages go, we'll go back to our programs. And where, of course, if this is going to be a new normal, it means we now begin to develop online programs that can be used to deal with these things. But the downside is that our communities in rural areas will not be able to benefit out of this. So we are caught between the hard and the soft place. The issues of bylaws, evaluation of bylaws, we discovered that some of the bylaws are really not friendly and they are not promoting the rights of cultural and religious and linguistic communities. We have seen one in Johannesburg where the church leaders were arrested left and right for no apparent reason until we demanded to see the bylaws. And we're still working on that and to see each and every bylaws. To what extent are these bylaws consistent in compliance with the Constitution and the Act that established the CRL? So we are going forward doing this. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Of course, the issue of Khoi and San languages, I've already addressed that. The last question, I think some of the questions came from the chair regarding the budget. We appreciate the concern. We are trying to do more with little, but we are overstretching, and it's not easy. It's very difficult. If you look into the expertise we require to do some of the things that have been raised, we can't get them because we are limited in terms of human resource. And as I can say, we do have the interns that we from time to time try to bring them in to learn the ropes, but they can't stay in. They can't stay in the commission because we have no resources. So we are doing our utmost with little. Of course, the issues of the proliferation of churches in the rural areas is a matter of grave concern. And as I conclude and others will come in, you'll remember the resurrection story, the resurrection saga. We are still working on that today because we need to demystify certain things that are done in the name of religion and things that are not. They are genuine things. We can't lump everybody with the same brush, but there are certain environments where we need to bring clear understanding to our people what is actually happening. We are still working on the issue of Prophet Lekau to check precisely whether the person he claimed he raised from the dead was actually dead, or it was some kind of, commercialization of religion. I don't know. But we are very happy. We do our utmost. Our commissioners are fully engaged at every turn, and they are eager, and they are willing, and they are able. So I'll then ask the deputy chair and the CEO if there are things I have left to amplify and to add. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Professor. Deputy Chair, anything to add before the CEO? Deputy Chair?
Good afternoon, Chairperson.
Okay. Can you proceed? You have muted your mic. Unmute your mic.
I did. Now, thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to add on the question of Honorable Mfenyane on the capacity of traditional leaders. He raised a question on whether we build capacity of traditional leaders. And I would say on Monday during our meeting, the department indicated that they are busy with the plans to capacitate the traditional leaders. And this came for us as a bonus because somebody in this meeting raised an issue of our role in as far as the traditional cause bill is concerned. How do we support the traditional leaders? But during last meeting, the department indicated that they have the program of capacitating the traditional leaders. This will not only assist the department, but it is a huge blessing for us as CRL because when the traditional leaders as the custodians of our culture and tradition are developed, then it is easier for them to understand what Bluma and traditional cause bill is all about and how they can assist us in implementing some of these things. Therefore, it reduces the number of complaints that we receive from our communities. That is what I wanted to add from what Professor said. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Deputy Chairperson. CEO, there were questions that were assigned to.
And Chairperson, can I come in as a Deputy Minister later?
It's okay, you'll come.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I think my job is now short. Small, the issue of the uncharted areas. The program was built within the public education program, so it was not a standalone because we know very well that we did not have funds for it. So we used the budget within the public education to explore the idea, because it was more into the approach. It was not the approach to say, let us try and get to areas that we've never visited, but using the same engagements, the same awareness dialogues that we've planned in the public education. So hence, you don't see it on the APP. It is within public education engagements. So that is the only question that I think I wanted to answer. The other issue that I just want to expand on is the just give the Honorable members the assurance of the languages. The languages represented currently by the commissioners is Xhosa, Pedi, Sesotho, Afrikaans, Xitsonga, Sesotho, I counted Setswana, isiNdebele, isiZulu, sign language. And then the other languages are augmented by the staff complement that we have within the commission. The other point that I wanted to make that I've just opened some of the the comments we forwarded in 2017 about the traditional cost bill. So we did, input on that, including the bill. We worked with the department, the product that you see before Parliament. We also share, made an input through the department that was facilitating the bill for the governance in traditional affairs. I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on the issue of rediscovery of diminished heritage and COVID-19. Work is continuing through desktop. We're using other research methodologies. Of course, there are limitations because we would want to have focus groups and so on and so forth. But as we speak, the work, now that we've just started a new financial year, the work has started with that kind of research in terms of desktop and the development of concept papers and so on and so forth. So we are not waiting. We are still working from home. I also wanted to add on the issue of COVID-19 as to what is the role that the Commission is doing. We are assisting actually the Department of Health currently with the regulations of mass burials. We've sent our inputs last week, and they've given us another document that we are working on, which we were supposed to forward today, but I will do that tomorrow to send to the department. But we are really doing some work assisting the department in the of COVID-19. We also, in terms of COVID-19, as a commission, we've really publicized the do's and don'ts during COVID-19 through the media to our communities, and we're the first amongst the Chapter 9 institutions to actually stand up and talk to this. I recall very well that even before the meeting was called with with the religious leaders, the commission was already in the media trying to persuade religious leaders towards a particular direction so that they can see that the thing that we are dealing with is life-threatening and they need to consider it so that we can be able to enjoy our rights as the chairperson alluded earlier. The issue of oversight, just to amend, it came from the PARI report, the research report that was commissioned by Treasury, where they were actually indicating that, the commissioners are not doing enough. So I'm just supporting the chairperson that indeed we have moved away from that since the report was issued some years back. So I just wanted to just make some... And the commission, in terms of visibility, compared to 2007, when Kadasmal report was issued, we have really tried our best under circumstances. I think now some people begin to know and understand the work of the commission now than before. So given the opportunity to have more resources, we will be able to be more visible to local communities, because our plan that we discuss all the time is that we must end up in even local municipalities. But I must say, Chairperson, that the spaces for offices we have, the Department of Traditional Affairs has given us the COGDAS, the whole National House, Chapter 9 institutions, they say you can have offices here, but we need the means to run those offices. So the office spaces are not a problem. We collaborate with other chapter 9, the department that we get, you know, our votes through, our monies, our budget through them. They have also opened up together with the National House. So the offices we can get, but we need the means to start those offices that we're talking about. I think, Chairperson, I will pause from there. But there's a lot of work that the Commission does, which I think will be covered even in the annual report. It's only that the limitations here is of the APP. You don't give a lot of information to what we have achieved in the year under review. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you, CEO. Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a few issues. One of the issues is that even though the Commission does not have enough resources as indicated, they do still, however, participate in quite the useful work that government is doing. For example, on the communal land resolutions, looking at the security of tenure and ownership, they are part of that particular task team that is led by the Deputy President, and they are usefully contributing to it. The second other work that we gave them as a department and with the traditional leaders through their houses was to also help in the identification and then review of cultural practice that discriminates and contradicts the objectives of the nation building, gender parity, and the human rights. And they are indeed in the beginning to look at that particular area and then see if we could not begin to identify such and then engage on how do we then begin to discontinue those particular practices. They also have been engaged as CRL on the issue of the cultural initiation. I think the Professor Musona, as the chairperson, has really indicated the work there, which included during the COVID 19 preparations, the persuasion of traditional leaders to not practice this year. They were part of the voices that were engaging with the traditional leaders through when the meeting with the president took place. And then the other area, obviously, is the issue of the review of the municipal bylaws, which we did indicate to the Commission that a number of municipalities are still having the statutes and bylaws that are old, some of them designed in the 1800s and others in the early 1900s. And then as Honorable Teza was saying, that the slaughter is but part of those particular bylaws, where the slaughtering, particularly in the suburbs, even sometimes in the townships, they say it's a cruel against animals, and they are not sensitive to the cultural aspects of the community, particularly in the cities. So the bylaws needs a lot of review. And I think what the CRL could then do is to engage SALGA as an organized body of local government and really begin to enter into this particular issue. Around those bylaws, obviously, it's the drums that many people will say they make noise when people have to do their rituals. And then also Diwali, as Honorable Hussein raised an issue around that issue, that a lot of communities are insensitive around those particular issues. And then the issue of the budget that has been emphasized, the concerns have been raised, and the sympathy is there, and I think it gives us power as a department once more to engage with the Treasury and engage in the mean combat, also to say this matter is serious because the role and the work of the Commission is important. We did try, and then they got a slight increase, but that was not adequate even then at the time. But your concerns and your voice will add to the call. Let me then conclude, Chair, by also indicating to Honorable Mkhalipi that anything that discriminates, the Commission has the power to investigate, whether it's racism or it's tribalism. In addition, they can even report such matters to the Human Rights Commission to also investigate if need be. But they have the powers themselves to can also do around those particular issues. And I think, Chairperson, I just want to also say the initiation is not just a rural matter. It's also now entering space in the urban areas. And I think examples have been given in the south of Johannesburg, Orange Farm and the Vaal areas, and then it has been turned into criminal activity. And in the Ekurhuleni, where children have been kidnapped into Limpopo to go against their will and the will of their parents. So it's a both urban and a rural area.